Phoenix Chamber of Commerce headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and it is my honor and distinct pleasure to introduce the the vice chairman of the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, Luke Schaefer. Luke, how are you?
I am doing well. Glad to be here. This is back-to-back months for me, so
yeah,
I'm super excited.
That's right.
I must be doing something right.
You are doing something right.
Or just a sucker.
No.
No, not at all. You're definitely doing something right with three kids.
Yeah.
There's odds in Vegas for four.
Is there really?
Number four.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I'm
two to one.
Both those.
Okay. Maybe not. Tell me which one to bet on.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's right. I always try to promote you to an executive spot. But you're the vice chairman.
Right.
In charge of vice.
Yes.
No, I mean in
Miami.
I should be there. Miami vice. So this is always great. We're here live at the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce headquarters. Such a great organization. Really the fastest growing chamber around. But more importantly than that, top quality.
Quality.
I think,
quality,
no question.
Quality.
Yeah. And the people you have are just phenomenal. You, Gordon, Jason, Gene. I mean, really a good group of people, and that's what really makes an organization, I believe. I think it's the management, the people, and the passion people have, like yourself, to give, and give more.
That's true. The North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, it's about business to business. If you own a business, if you know somebody who owns a business, this is something that they would want to get involved in. One, because you meet your fellow business people around your community, you strive to do better. You learn about their businesses. You wonder, you think how you can help each other. There's plenty of times where I've been out there, even just for advice. There's been some folks that I know through this chamber where I've called, and it was just for some just general advice, even just auto repair advice.
Yeah.
You know, like Ralph Holstrom, CNR Tire. I called Ralph. I'm like, hey, what's going on with this car? I just got it. Da 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 da. He said, take it back to the dealer. They'll take care of it. I didn't even think of that. But, you know, in our busy lives,
but that's a good advice.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's obvious. But there's other things, too, where you can join the chamber, and then there's discounts amongst businesses, such as, you know, I use Ralph as an example because it's an easy one with the auto repair service industry. But, you know, just simple things on tires. I can easily tell you just what I've saved by purchasing tires from them.
Oh, yeah.
Easily pays for my membership, you know.
Yes.
But not only that, it's about the relationships that we build amongst each other. It's the luncheons that we do, the mix and mingles. And
yeah.
You get to know people on a personal level, not just the business level. And we're here to help each other and educate each other about each other's businesses and see how we can help each other and our community around us. Because obviously, the stronger the businesses are, the stronger the community will be.
Yeah. And I'll add one thing, the stronger the businesses are with high-level values, and that's
yeah.
what the North Phoenix Chamber demonstrates every time I see any of you guys. It's the high-level values, and that's what's more important. It's not about really competition. It's about cooperation.
Yes.
And that's what it is, and I like you guys are my favorite chamber of all time. There's no doubt about it, and we have a really special guest, someone that I read the bio. It's really fascinating. I used to be a musician of sorts. Luke,
what?
I don't know if you... Yeah, so, yeah, I know. I was in a rock and roll group.
Yes. The drum.
No.
The bass.
No.
Lead guitar.
Yes!
Well, lead rhythm. And
lead
rhythm.
Whatever. Yeah, and groupies. But other than the groupies, that's not the true answer. I enjoyed it. I wrote music, but I went the practical way out. CPA, as you know, and also now a radio broadcaster that is a lot of fun doing radio. But let's welcome right now Kevin Kosak from the North Valley Symphony Orchestra. Kevin, welcome to Breakthrough Thinking.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, this is great because, really, I did read your bio, and it's I always admire people, and Luke, I bet you do too, that when people are in the arts and have that talent, whether it's a painter, which really blows me away, I don't know how people do that, but music too, and equally as a painter, it's amazing that it's just part of them. It's like you've embraced it. You don't have to think logically. Like as a CPA, you know, I have to think left brain, and then when I do neurolinguistic programming, I go right brain. And when people see me coming into a party, they go, there they come, you know, left and right.
Left and right.
Yeah, but it's really fascinating to me how, musicians just are in the moment.
Yeah, we really enjoy what we do. You know, being a musician my whole life, I've started when I was about 5 or 6 and playing the piano and singing with my mom and, you know, all those things. It just kind of becomes a language to you, and you embrace it. And like you say, it's just something that you exude all the time. It's just something that you live.
That's fascinating. You like music?
I love music.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't like one genre of music.
Yeah?
I like all of it.
Wow,
which is very kind of odd, because sometimes I'll listen to, you know,
rap.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why not?
And then I'll go to country. And
I love country.
You know,
Dave, there's only two kinds of music I like, and that's country and western.
Get it?
I get it.
Actually, I like jazz, too. You like jazz?
I do.
Blues.
I
enjoy
some
it all.
Great music. I enjoy it all. But let's ask Kevin a little bit. How did you get the North Valley Symphony Orchestra going?
Well, about a year and a half ago, a number of musicians got together during the summer and decided that we wanted to start another new orchestra in the North Valley. And it's kind of an unserviced area. Yeah, the West Valley had an orchestra, and Tempe has one, and Chandler has one, and there's the Glendale Winds. There's, you know, some great orchestras and bands and stuff around. Also, the Scottsdale Phil is a great orchestra. But a community orchestra where community members can come and join and participate and have fun playing their instruments together, we decided that we wanted to start something like that. So about 35 of us started it out, and it took off very, very quickly. We talked with Paradise Valley Unified School District, and they gave us the opportunity to start rehearsing at North Canyon High School. And we also talked with them about including a youth component, and that we wanted to really give the youth somewhere to play as well, because string programs are usually one of the most difficult programs in music to keep going. It's a difficult instrument, and it takes a lot of practice. And so we wanted to kind of meld all this together, and within about 18 months now, we have a full symphony orchestra of 76 adult players, and we're doing everything from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite this last weekend to we just finished Berlioz's Symphony Fantastique in October. We're going to do Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony in March. We're doing Hanson's Third Symphony in May. So we're doing some very high-end music within just 18 months. So.
How about William Tell?
We'll do that
Overture.
Probably next year.
I love that one. How about you?
It's a great piece.
There we go.
Lone Ranger.
I love it.
It's good, right?
Yeah. I like that music, too. I mean, brilliant composers. And you're a conductor, too.
I'm the conductor, yes.
So, you know, I just can't figure that out. My ex used to,
try to conduct
you. Yeah.
With youth groups.
Yeah, you're right. And she had no training, and hopefully she's not listening, but she might be. But she was always, you know, it looked interesting how she was, you know, doing this with the stick. I thought she was more a magician than a conductor. But how do you do that? I mean, how do people pay attention to you as a conductor, because I know you have to hear everything, you have to understand everything, and people have to pay attention, too.
Right.
How do you do that, and how do people, how do you know how to do that? Is it just by feel?
Well, it's something that you actually train to do. When you first learn to play your instrument, you become proficient enough on the instrument that playing the instrument, it actually becomes kind of second nature.
Mm.
You read the notes, and that you're not even thinking about fingerings or what key you're in or whatever. You just actually just play the instrument. So you do have additional time now to pay attention to what else is going on around you. As a student, you know, gets better and better, then we start putting them in ensembles. And that's something that we have at North Valley Symphony, is that we have an ensemble called Symphonettes, and it's a great place for youth that have, you know, maybe 1 to 2 years of experience on their instrument to start trying to play in an ensemble, because it's a learn thing. You have to learn how to pay attention to those around you and as well as the conductor in front, because the conductor sometimes changes the tempo, changes the dynamics, and you have to be able to pay attention to all of that as you're playing your instrument. So, you know, it's years of experience in doing all multitasking, and that's what we do. Is we take them from symphonettes to a youth orchestra, which is a little higher, and then into the adult orchestra where they've been doing it for years, and it just kind of comes second nature.
Can you compare this, or could you compare it, to a director of a movie set where you know every line, you have to know every next step and everything that's going on? To me, it seems even harder than that.
Well, it's very comparable. It's much the same sort of a thing. Conductors, what they do is they do score study, where basically you go through the score and you learn, like you said, everybody's part. I know what the flute's supposed to be playing there. I know what the oboe's supposed to be playing there, and you learn basically the entire piece, and so you have it in your head. So then, as you're going through the piece, if you hear something that's wrong or whatever, especially during rehearsal time period, then you recognize that something's going wrong in that measure. You go back, you rehearse it, and you put it back together, and go on. In the performance, we've gotten to the point where, hopefully at that point, really, I'm only there to make sure that everybody's staying together on tempo and that the dynamics are correct. In other words, I'm a kind of a master mixer. And so if the basses are not loud enough, then I ask the basses to be a little louder. If the flute's a little bit too loud, then I ask them to be a little quiet. And that's what all those hand gestures and motions are, is basically telling them what I want them to do to make the sound go out to the audience correctly.
Sort of like, wow, when I'm on the freeway and I'm a little frustrated, I have my own.
Yeah, you have your own sign?
Yeah.
I mean, this,
slow down.
Look, this sounds complicated. It really does. This,
yeah,
every part.
Have any idea? This involves amazing talent, because I can't even walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. But the truth is, you know, to know each part, and how many instruments you have? I mean, quite a few.
Yeah, there's quite a few. You have the three string sections more or less. Your first, second violin, and then viola, cello, and bass. So you basically have five parts there, and then you have each one of the wind instruments. So you have, you know, quite a few. I would say independent parts probably around 16 to 20.
You know, I was a Luke, I don't know if you were ever in an orchestra. Actually, in junior high, I was. Not
really?
Guitar. I played clarinet.
Clarinet?
Yeah, and okay. I liked it. It was
great
cool
instrument. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is cool. And what I don't understand, or maybe you can explain it, and I think they still have this, like, you know, let's say you have four clarinet players or
okay,
whatever.
Uh-huh.
You got first chair, second. Do they still call the best one first chair?
Well, in an orchestra, you usually call it principal. But,
okay. But you arrange it by how good?
Yeah, technique. Technicality.
Okay. Yeah. How come I was always fourth chair?
Always fourth chair? Maybe you played the guitar too much. You know?
Yeah, probably. But how did, so you can evaluate. Do you, the conductor does the evaluation on who's
we
the principal?
Do have, yeah, we have auditions for chair at the beginning of the season, and we place people where they should be as far as capability.
That's amazing. Do you ever change
sure,
during the season?
Sure.
And Luke, you've been Luke was the youngest arena football coach in history.
Yes, a while ago.
He's an All-American football,
really?
North Dakota State.
Athletic
okay
background, yeah.
But similar. I mean, as a
very
coach,
much so.
You know, hey, you're first string, but not this game.
And not only that, put this in perspective. If you're, you know, just to take defense, for example, if you're going to call a play, you better know what every single person on the field is doing.
Much the
right
same.
Because if you don't,
much the same thing.
And if something happens, you don't know where they messed up, but you correct it.
Right.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Yeah. See? Similarity.
We're in the same canoe here.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a canoe.
Well,
it
could be. since we're talking Northern Arizona University, we're talking maybe sleigh.
True.
Toboggan.
Toboggan.
What's a toboggan?
I've never heard
it was a canoe and a boggin. I don't know. But this is fascinating to me, and really the talent there. Oh, who's some of the most well-known, not even well-known, the best conductors either you have the honor of being, you know, played with or you've seen
well,
in your career?
Probably what influenced me the most when I was a very young kid was, I don't know if you remember the Bernstein.
I was going to mention.
Saturday morning youth symphony performances.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. And I used to,
Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah, Leonard Bernstein.
I used to
watch those on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And that was what influenced me as to that I wanted to be a conductor. And
phenomenal.
That was back when I was 6, 8 years old or
so,
watching those. And I used to put the old slate records on the phonograph. You probably don't know what the slate
is. I do.
The slate ones. And
the real thick ones.
The real thick ones.
Yeah, my grandma had those.
Yeah,
really?
Use them as a frisbee later.
Yeah, I never did that. Okay, maybe.
But I used to put those on and conduct to them.
That's
and
cool.
it was great fun. So, but other really great conductors, probably the one that I've studied with the most recently is Lawrence Golan. He was the associate conductor here in Phoenix for a time period, and he teaches at Lamont School of Music in Denver, and he also has the Seoul Korea Symphony. He's the principal conductor for Seoul Korea, and he also does the Yakima Symphony up in Washington. A fine conductor, a great technician, and also a great teacher. And I've studied privately with him and done some workshops with him, and it's been very good for my technique to be able to study with him.
So. Wow. And what makes a good conductor? How do you know when someone is a good conductor?
By what comes out of the orchestra.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
But does it exclusively that? Because what if you have not the best musicians? Can a conductor make them better?
Sure.
Oh,
A conductor, just like a coach, can bring the best out of people.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I had
no
idea
about
that.
Yeah.
Ever hear of Lawrence Welk?
Was he a conductor? He was a conductor.
I'm a conductor. You know where Lawrence Welk is from?
Yeah.
Where? I forgot. Among the two or three, right? Hungary.
Yeah.
I don't know. Strasburg, North Dakota.
What?
Look it up. I could be wrong on the city, but it's a small town just south of where I grew up.
Wow.
No.
My grandpa loved Lawrence Welk.
Oh, yeah.
My grandpa played in a band forever.
You're kidding.
And no, I'm not. No. And he played the accordion.
Okay.
And my grandma played the drums.
Really?
I would have loved to see that. I am serious. And he loved it. He had like 7 accordions, and we'd always go over to his house, and what was on? Lawrence Welk.
Really?
Because he was a superstar.
Lawrence Welk? That generation, it really was.
Yeah.
That generation loved Lawrence Welk.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I hear him sing country western sometimes.
I thought it said Lawrence Welk.
I think you're in somebody.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that one out.
Lawrence Welk, professional.
No, I
accordion player.
Yeah.
And a conductor.
Yeah. So it can't be country western.
Yeah. Kevin, I'm sure since we've been talking, there's been listening who are musicians themselves.
That's right.
I'm sure you're taking on more. Or,
sure.
How do folks get a hold of you or if they're interested in
Well, we do have a website, and almost all of our information, you'd be able to figure out how to get hold of us. There's a contact us page and everything like that, and it is just northvalleysymphony.org.
Oh, that's easy.
Spell it out, northvalleysymphony.org.
How about a phone number?
Phone number, the best one is 623-980-4628, and that's our business line, and you can leave a message there if you can't get hold of anybody. But, we'll be able to talk to you from that.
Can they join at any time? Because I know you're probably...
Well, typically, the youth, when we have youth join, they either join at the beginning of the year or at the semester. So now is a real good time for the youth to join because we will be starting a whole new set of music in January for the youth concerts, which will be in May. We have 2 youth orchestras, like I said, the Symphonettes, which is the training one, and then the youth orchestra, which is a little bit older, into high school generally. And we do have a very nominal fee tuition. We only charge $50 a semester for the students.
Oh, wow.
Which is incredibly
cheap. Oh, yeah.
it's cheaper than any lessons that you'll get, and it gives them a great opportunity to play with some other students. We have about 18 to 20 students in the symphonettes, all strings. We're sticking all with strings because that's where you usually have the hardest time finding somewhere to play is with the string group. And then the youth orchestra has about 26 to 28 in it, and we do some great music, so it's a great time for them to join. As far as the adults, again, it's a real good time to join. The adults can join pretty much any time during the year as long as they have enough time to rehearse for the next concert and,
gotcha.
And that I have a spot for them. We always need more strings, especially violas. If anybody wants,
No.
Yeah. But violas are always,
viola. I don't know that.
Viola is it's in between the violin and the cello. It's the
smaller version.
Don't let me put words in your mouth.
Yeah. No, it's kind of a half-size cello. It's still held like a violin, but it's it plays one octave higher than the cello does. So.
What's the commitment these folks put in?
Monday nights is when our rehearsals are, and we rehearse from 7 till 9 on Monday nights for about 8 to 10 weeks in preparation for a concert. That's
Now, concert, you just had one.
We just had a concert this last weekend. It was great. It was called Holiday Toys.
Oh.
And it was focused on all sorts of toy type of music. We did the Toy Symphony. It was written back in the Baroque time period, classical time period, Mozart and Haydn. We don't really know who wrote the Toy Symphony. It's kind of funny.
Oh,
it's
wow.
been in so many different libraries, and copyists back then would copy stuff because there was no copyright laws. Mm-hmm. So we don't really know who wrote it, but we think it was either Leopold Mozart or Joseph Haydn. But it's a great little piece. The youth orchestra performed that, and then we did Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite.
Wow.
And we did Victor Herbert's March of the Toys, which comes from that classic music operetta that he did the turn of the century called Babes in Toyland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you probably recognize that. And then we did Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride, which everybody remembers that one from the horse whinny at the end and the whip cracks in the middle of it, and it's a great piece. So we had a really great concert.
How often do you have one?
Well, our next concert is in March. It's on March 7th.
Oh, nice.
And it'll be at North Canyon High School. It's March 8th, I think, is Saturday, okay? And it will be Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, which is a great piece. But also, we're really excited about the other piece that we're going to be doing. It's called the Von Hall. It's the guy's last name, Johann Von Hall, wrote the piece. And it's the Von Hall Bass Concerto. And Chris Vinay is a great bassist in Arizona. He teaches up at NAU. He's on staff up there as the bass faculty professor. And he's going to play the Von Hall Concerto with us. And we are so excited about that because this is something that is it's a very difficult piece, and he plays it very well. So everybody's going to want to put that date on their calendar, March 8th, and make sure that you're able to come to that.
Now, go ahead. All right, segue.
Segue to Luke.
This is a non-profit organization.
That's what I was going to say.
See? Great minds think alike.
Nicely done.
So
this is a non-profit. No, you already said it. So it's a non-profit organization, so you do take donations, sponsorships.
We do.
How does all that work? How can people donate? What levels?
Well, we have numerous levels that people can support us. There's, of course, the individual donors, everything from, $100 is where we first start recognizing them in a program. Of course, we'll take any donation, no matter how small. But we have the Adagio level and the Andante level, and we kind of named them after musical things.
All right.
You know, keep it that way. But the Allegro level is people who donate more than $1,000. And we have different levels of recognition for that. They're either in the program or they get some complimentary seats or complimentary tickets to the concert, and also a donor party at the end of the year where we have all the donors come over and we have some good hors d'oeuvres and some nice chamber music for them to listen to.
A donor party compared to the Donner party.
Not the Donner party.
Not the Donner party.
We don't want to talk about the Donner party.
Yeah, we don't.
So,
wow, that sounds pretty cool. And is it going well? Are people supporting you?
We're getting great support from the community. We really are. And especially, I do need to say that the best thing that we did was to join the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce. That's the way that we have been able to integrate into this this area of Phoenix has been really great. I mean, the relationships that we're building with businesses, we have a number of businesses that have started donating time and effort to us. Everything from media and marketing, Jen Wolf and her media stuff has been really great for us. She does a lot of graphics and that kind of work. And then we also have some great relationships with florist. Wolf's Floral has been working
with us. I know him. Yeah,
we have
some
nice advertisers from the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce as well. Bought ads in our programs, so it's been really great for that kind of a relationship as well.
And now you're on the radio.
And now I'm on the radio. This is great, you know, being able to promote ourselves a little bit more. But this is what our mission is that we want to bring great music to the community. We believe that music is the way that communities are built and held together. It's a great social networking thing. Everybody knows how awful it is to go to a party and not have good music. It's the same sort of thing. We believe that music, good music, builds community, and the businesses have been great to help support us in that. And like I said, the relationships are great.
And I think if, certainly for the youth, you know, it gives them something to do, but something amazing to do. It's not just something to do.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of controversy whether, you know, people, the new younger generation always on the Internet or games or you know, those type of things. And this sort of brings it back to sort of the old days in a way where, you know, great music, but music that really meant something. I'm not trying to downgrade any other music, but I just can't get into rap. I just, but I'm sure that has its talents too. But nothing like a symphony, an orchestra, that blending the sounds together rather than having a mixer do it.
Right.
The human element, right?
The human element.
That's got to make a difference.
Live performance is so exciting.
Yeah.
We've gotten very used to being able to just plug in and put our headphones on and listen to the perfectly digitized notes of music as we're walking around, and it takes all of that audience element out of it. And, you know, sure, it's great music, and I do it too. You know, I listen to music on my iPad and my iPod and as I'm walking around. And it's a great way to hear music, but then you realize that nobody else is hearing it. It's just you. And they have the person that's standing next to you has no idea what great music you're listening to. And so to go to a live performance and for you to all be able to participate and enjoy the same music at the same time, there's nothing like it. I love live music performances.
Yeah.
They're great.
How about you, Luke?
I do. I like it a lot. And that goes into the next thing. Like, how do folks, if they want to buy tickets to the next concert, how do they do that? And can they buy, like, group tickets for their businesses?
Sure.
I'm sure we have business people.
Absolutely.
Bring their whole company or staff.
Right. Well,
it's a present. A good gift. Too.
It is.
Yeah,
a good gift.
Yeah. For Christmas.
It's a great Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Our tickets, we want to make it affordable for everybody because, again, we want to build community. So one of our mission statements is that our tickets are only
$5.
Yeah. So, and we will.
That's good.
Yeah. It's very, very cheap. And it's not because it lacks quality, but because of what we believe in is that we want everybody to be able to come. It's very difficult to take a family of four out to entertainment. Even if you go to a movie, you're going to drop $50 to $70.
Oh, yeah.
Between the two parents at $12 each and then, you know, the the snacks and the kids and everything. But you can bring a family of four to our concert for $20, and
wow.
We're very proud of that. That we really believe in that. That's one of our foundational things.
And that's a length of how long is the entertainment?
The entertainment is usually just under 2 hours.
Wow.
It's about,
that's good. Yeah,
yeah. We start at 7 o'clock and go to about 8:45 or so with this short intermission.
So it's early enough you can go out and you know have a little snack.
Yeah. Right.
At Starbucks,
right? Exactly.
Or somewhere,
right?
Well, that is really cool.
So anyway, you can buy those tickets on our website. There is a link to buy tickets there, and if you call us at that phone number that I gave you earlier, then we can talk to you about group tickets because we do give discounts. Mm-hmm. We have a couple senior centers that will come out, and they'll bring a whole bus. And so we do a 10% off for 10 or more, 15% off for 15 or more, 20% off for 20 or more. It's a very simple mathematical thing.
Wow.
So anyway, if you bring 10 or more people, then we can give you 10% off on those tickets. And so it's only $4.50 each ticket. And if you brought somebody, you know, 20 more, then, of course, then it's only $4.00. Per ticket, and that's incredibly reasonable.
Oh, yeah.
And
we
got senior centers out to bring in 20 more. We had two senior centers that came out this last concert, and one of them brought 25 in a bus. So it's a great opportunity for them.
Dave, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
But since that's a nonprofit organization.
Yes.
Is that you can ask me a tax question.
I'm a CPA.
Would that ticket be deducted?
Usually what it is when you contribute, it's usually you deduct
what
value
the ticket is,
if you get certain products or services, in theory, what happens is, I mean, the way it's defined.
We'll just say there's gray area.
Yeah.
Probably.
There could be, but, well, I mean.
They should just donate.
If you get something for it, then you got to deduct what you get.
Take, for example, and we've had this question a few times because people ask us, what can we do? And we say, well, okay, if you donate more than, let's say, $500 is one of our levels, then you get four tickets to each one of the concerts. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so that's $20 per concert times four concerts is
$80.
So $80
is not deductible
because you received a good.
Nice thing said. Much better than I said.
Okay.
You're right.
No offense, but yeah. I'm the one who brought it up.
$420 would be deductible.
Yeah.
And $80 you received.
Nice example.
There it is. But if you're looking for group tickets, call 623-980-4628. Great Christmas gift for the staff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Everybody. And it's in March, March 8th.
March 8th, Saturday, March 8th.
And you never know, you know, a kid that might just fall in love with this and say, wow, I want to play, you know, the clarinet, the viola.
What's really interesting is at this concert on Saturday night, we just had a young man come up to me that had stopped playing the violin a year and a half ago and said that he was just bored with it and didn't have any fun or whatever. And he was standing there with his mom, and he said, I want to start back up again. I want to join your group. What do I need to do? And so we're going to have an audition in a couple weeks, and he'll go into the symphonettes. He'll go into one of the training.
That was so cool.
But he was very enthralled by the performance, and it motivated him to get back onto it.
So you inspire and you motivate, too.
That's what we try and do.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And you could be a CPA.
I try.
No, that was very good.
I would never want to be a CPA.
Yeah, but you hit it right on the head. The value of the services can't deduct.
Oh, that's the limits of my knowledge in the CPA world.
But that is very cool. So, ever been to the Hollywood Bowl?
No.
Okay, they've had some nice concerts there, symphony orchestras, and of course,
I would
in Hollywood.
I would love to, attend a concert there. It's a great facility, but no, I
it
have
is.
Never been to a concert at the Hollywood Bowl.
I brought that up because ever hear of Mel Torme?
Oh, absolutely.
You've heard of Mel?
I have, but I don't know much about him. I was good friends with his daughter.
No way.
Yeah, Carrie Torme.
No.
No, really?
Like how'd you know her?
We both went one of my earlier jobs as a CPA was at Kenneth Leventhal & Company, and she worked there and I worked there, and we became good friends.
Okay.
Yeah, he died, though.
Yeah.
Very sad. But what do they call him? The Velvet?
Some Velvet Boy?
Yeah.
With the Velvet Voice or something like
that. He's written a lot of amazing songs.
Yeah.
that you would say, wow, he wrote that? You know, it's pretty amazing.
Right.
Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up. Now, let's talk a little bit about NAU.
Oh.
So you a little bit more about your background, master's in education there.
I got my master's in education in 89.
At NAU.
NAU, yes.
And then you're going back for master's in...
orchestral conducting.
That is so cool. Now, have you ever been to Black Bart's?
Been to Black Bart's? Yes, I have. Yeah.
They have, I think, the music department, some of these singers,
absolutely,
the waiters, waitresses, and they sing as they wait on you.
Right.
It's a cool place.
It is a great place.
Where's that?
Well,
Black
Bart's. Yeah, up in Flagstaff.
Where at?
Right on the north end of the campus.
By Little America? Right,
yeah.
Right next
door? Uh-huh. I know where that's at.
It's cool. It's a pretty good place, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I always love going there because all these NAU students, they're singing, they're happy, and they're talented, and they serve you.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's singing waiters and waitresses.
Yeah.
it's a great time. That's a great place to visit, it really is.
It is a very cool thing. Now, some more of your background. What I read on with the bio is that you sang, too. You performed.
Well, that was my primary thing that I studied when I first started music was I went through choral, the choral world. And so I became a teacher, and I taught choir.
Wow.
And I was a singer, and I did quite a bit of performance. I was in musical theater, held quite a few roles, and was in the chorus and also a dancer. I did, you know, all the musical theater stuff. So
oh, wow.
It was a great time. Yeah. But I also, along the way, continued to keep my instrumental skills up. I play primarily the piano, the euphonium, which is like a baby tuba.
Oh.
And then string bass in orchestra. And so, but those were all secondary for a long time as I was teaching. I decided to go back and kind of hone my skills as far as a conductor because conducting an orchestra is quite a bit different. And so I decided that I'd head up to NAU and take a couple years to make sure that I'm doing exactly what I should be doing for the orchestra.
Now, is NAU known as one of the better schools, universities, in terms of music and conducting?
Well, there's some great faculty up there. There really is. And the orchestra is a very fine orchestra. And the nice thing about it is that it's very small. NAU is not huge. It's not like ASU or even U of A. And so there's really only two orchestras there, but they only accept one orchestra student per year.
Oh.
So you get very direct involvement with the orchestra because there's only two of us there. One of us is the upper classman, and the other one is the lower classman because it's a two-year program. So there's only two of us there working with the orchestra as well as the professor. And so we get an awful lot of time working with the orchestra. You go to a larger school, and sometimes you have 10, 12 people who are studying to be orchestral conductors, and you don't get as much podium time. It's called podium time.
Yeah.
In front of the orchestra. And we get quite a bit up there. We're given a lot of responsibilities, and that's what's really great. So
that's amazing. Well, can you imagine only being admitted one per year?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Were you up against other people?
Yes. Yeah, there was.
Do you know how many people apply usually?
Usually between three, four, or five, somewhere in there.
And you have to interview, and you have to show your stuff, and all that.
And you actually have to conduct the orchestra as an audition. And
wow.
So even as a new student, you have to have some skill to go after your master's. You can't go right into it without anything. Sure.
That is absolutely amazing. Was that pressurized? Was it a like a pressure cooker?
Yeah,
or did you have
any audition is always pressure.
Yeah.
It's like an interview, but it's in, you know, the entire orchestra. You got 80 people out there judging you. And
do they get the vote?
Actually, they do.
Oh, wow.
Students have an input as to who they enjoyed better. So
really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine, Luke, as a coach, if your players got the vote, whether you pick them or not?
No.
That would be
fun.
You would lose control pretty quick.
Yeah.
Is the conductor considered, the leader, but during performance and off performance, sort of like the team captain or the coach?
The coach, yeah, absolutely, just like the coach. The team captain is actually the concertmaster.
What is a concertmaster?
Concertmaster is the principal first violinist. And the concertmaster actually is kind of like, I mean, exactly like your number one player in a football team or whatever.
Wow.
It's who the conductor turns to talk about, you know, everything from artistic interpretation to personnel management. It's kind of like your right-hand man.
Interesting. Now, do you ever have to discipline some of the musicians?
Well, yeah, especially with the students. It is a discipline. I mean, it's just like coaching. As a matter of fact, I use coaching an awful lot when I talk about it with students because, you know, what happens is if somebody misses a block in football, what's going to happen? You know, you let down the entire team.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't do your job, then you let down the team. And it is a team sport. Playing in an orchestra is a team.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I use that analogy an awful lot because kids really understand that you have to do your part. If anybody misses, you know, just one note, then you have let down the rest of the orchestra because you're not holding your part up. So
I'm sure it comes down to the same thing, leading people and coaching, and you all have the same common goal is
absolutely
to do the best as they can, and they're probably only as good as your weakest link.
Exactly,
and
it's all about motivation and discipline and keeping them on the right track. So, yeah, we do many of the same things.
Yeah. Now, like in sports, attitude, right, Luke, goes a long way.
Definitely.
I mean, you could have an incredible, talented player with a bad attitude, but you'd rather have an okay player with a phenomenal attitude, right?
Exactly.
Same thing?
Coachable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, coachable. Same thing in music?
Absolutely. I would much rather have people that want to be there and want to try hard than somebody who is just kind of there because their parents tell them that they have to be or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, nothing worse than trying to motivate somebody who doesn't want to be there.
Wow. So that has to be another skill of a conductor, to be able to manage people.
Sure. Yeah. It's management.
That sounds difficult.
Management 101. Yeah.
Yeah, but still, that's hard, I think.
Yeah,
I never like to manage. I like to just be the entrepreneur and float all over the place, right? No, I think it's a special skill to manage people.
Oh, definitely.
Which is a whole different thinking style than maybe being a visionary or entrepreneur. But it sounds like, Kevin, you have both. You have to have that discipline, but also you have to have, you know, sort of a right brain approach to creativity and make sense of the music, too, and make it maybe different, too, perhaps.
Well, yeah, conductors, just like in many walks of life, you got to be both a leader and a creator.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, CEOs that are very, very good at putting together a business model and all that stuff, but if they can't lead people, then they're going to have a problem with their business.
That's a very good point. How about composing music, writing? Do you write music?
You know, I've never really gotten good at writing music.
Really?
Yeah, I can arrange stuff, and there's a difference there. Arranging is taking somebody else's work and then recreating it for the people that you have or whatever. And making it a little bit simpler if it's too difficult or expanding on it or whatever. I can do arrangements, but for some reason I've never been able to really compose from the get-go and put together a whole piece of music.
Wow, that sounds like that would be sort of tough, though.
Yeah, it is.
It's a different
art. It really is. People who compose music are just amazing. You look back at the great composers, you wonder how could they actually do this type of thing? You read about Mozart, you know, throwing together an entire symphony in a couple days.
Yeah, that's amazing, right?
And you're like, wow, how did he do that? It just flowed out of him. You know, those people are just amazing to me.
Greatest composer, conductor, well, let's say composer of all time. Who is it?
That's a tough question. There's an awful lot of really good ones. So,
Beethoven, would he be in the top 10?
Beethoven's definitely in the top 10. As a matter of fact, I would say he is one of these because he's so pivotal. He was right in between the classical and the romantic period, and he's what actually pulled us out of that Enlightenment period where everything was so strict and structured and everything and started being more expressive and more dramatic. Beethoven is who made that transition happen. And so many composers after him even attributed what they did right directly to him. You know, Wagner and Brahms and even all the way up into Schoenberg and some of the 20th century composers still looked back to Beethoven and said, yeah, he was a mind that was just amazing for music because he transitioned the whole world. He really did. So I would say that he's definitely in the top 10, if not the top for me. But there's some other great composers in that were very pivotal. So,
do these great composers, do they actually hear it in their head first and then they just transcribe it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially in the case of Beethoven, because after about his fifth symphony or so, in about 1908 or so, he went completely deaf.
That's what I thought,
So he didn't ever hear any of his last works.
That's amazing, right? I mean, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, one of his greatest pieces of music, the Ninth Symphony, he had absolutely no idea what it sounded like. But I'm sure he knew exactly what it sounded like because he had it in his brain. Yeah.
That is incredible. So you've studied all the greats, I suspect.
Sure.
Yeah.
Music history and musicology is very important for us to understand why each one of the composers wrote what they did and where they came from, in order for us to interpret the music and get that across to the audience as well as the musicians and help them, the orchestra, to be able to interpret what we're doing. That's part of my job, is to understand the composer as well. So.
Now, Luke, are you ready for one of my silly questions?
Sure.
Okay.
Anytime.
I don't know if this is silly, but, you know, there's so many well-known musicians out there, different types of music. Is there any comparison between the orchestra, the symphony, some of these great composers, and let's say one of the most well-known groups of all time, the Beatles? Is there any similarity where you can say, hey, they were geniuses at whatever they were geniuses at?
Absolutely. The Beatles created a genre that has made incredible world impact. The globalization, the pop music that occurred because of the Beatles is really phenomenal. It really is. There's all sorts of groups that have done phenomenal things for the world of music, and it's not just the classical world. There's amazing things that are happening in country and in rap. The rap movement has done some amazing things to rhythmic variety in music and speech. It's amazing. When I was teaching school, I actually taught a section on a comparison between rap and classical music.
That would have been fascinating.
It was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us just a little bit.
Yeah, that is
interesting. This was
MC Hammer. Vanilla Ice, or what's the
thing?
That's
a little older.
Ice,
yeah, that one.
Vanilla Ice. Actually, that was one of the names that I actually used.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because this was quite a few years ago that I was teaching him. He was one of the leaders in the rap movement.
Wow.
And there was one of the pieces, I'm trying to remember if it was Vanilla Ice or who, but they had written a piece that really talked an awful lot about the same sorts of things as the Underground Railroad of the slavery time period in our history. And the Underground Railroad that would help blacks in the North so that they could be free. And one of the rap pieces had many of the same words that that talked about being able to bring people out of the ghetto and into the, and it was very interesting to do a comparison and contrast between rap and what was happening in our 19th century. So.
That's amazing. Can you believe we only have 2 minutes left?
2 minutes left.
I decided to suspend all commercials.
I saw that.
Very fascinated in this. This is been such a great show, and people can also hear a replay on breakradioshow.com under the archives, under the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, so breakradioshow.com. With the last minute and a half, more contact information and your upcoming event.
Well, the contact information, again, is northvalleysymphony.org. You go to that website, and you can just find out anything about our symphony and joining us, supporting us, donating, or buying tickets and what our concert season is. Also, our phone number is 623-980-4628, and of course that phone number is on the website as well, so that if you can't get what you want off the website, then please contact us and ask questions. So we really hope that we'll get a great audience, because this will be a phenomenal concert in March, like I said, with Chris Vinay coming and doing the Von Hall, something that you just don't ever get to hear, and so we really want people to pay attention to that one.
Well, I will I'll announce some of this on our 1480 AM show, KPHX, where they show their Saturdays on 1480 AM. Luke Schaefer.
Dave, I just want to say a couple things about the Chamber. The Chamber is looking for a great 2014. We have a lot of exciting things happening.
Ooh.
You can go to the NorthPhoenixChamber.com if you want to join us. If you own a business, think you're going to own a business, or even thinking about owning a business, come and talk to us at the NorthPhoenixChamber.com. You can also give us a call. But I also want to give a quick shout-out to our newest members is Balloon Art International, the Boca Wine Bar and Urban Kitchen, U-Haul Company of Northern Arizona, the Chapman B&W, and that's just a few of the many 30 that you last month.
This is phenomenal. Kevin Kosak, thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And Luke Schaefer, thank you. And everyone, join us tomorrow for more Breakthrough Thinking and Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Have a great night.